If you would, please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses 28 to 31. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, I know some people use this statement very flippantly. They shouldn't, but they do. But whether it is used flippantly or not, the truth of Scripture is the truth of Scripture. All things do work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The question that statement should raise is the one that is never raised out in the world, but the one question that should be raised is, do I love God? See, that's a qualifier. All things work together for good to them that love God. It's not all things work together for good, which is the way most people flippantly say it. Yes, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. And here lately, the snow falls on the just and the unjust alike. But all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, very carefully, let me point this out. We're not necessarily, well, we are, I don't know exactly how to say this, Paul is not writing about and does not say those whom God loves. He's pointing out those who love God. Because those who love God and all that God loves are not necessarily the same thing. There are those whom God loves that he has not yet brought to love him. But all things work together for good to them that love God. That's what Paul wrote. That's what Paul meant. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Because all we can know is what is written in the book. That's it. And evidently, all things do not work together for good for everyone. That's just plain. Now, loving God entails loving him. And loving him as he truly is. Not as we think he is. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. His thoughts are perfect. Ours aren't even close. But we are to love him as he is described and extolled, proclaimed in his word. And we have a picture. We have a word picture here. Good pictures in this book that most people don't want to read. Now, he does actually give us a description of those that love God here. In this word, and this is a description that the world hates. Because the only ones who love God are those that are the called according to his purpose. The called according to his purpose. These statements, they're parts of the same sentence because they're talking about the same people. Paul did not separate these statements because they're one thought. All things working together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, those two statements can't be separated. Look at it this way. The called according to his purpose are those that love God. And all things work together for good to them. There's no way to separate this, although men will try. Men will try and add words to this verse of Scripture. Men will try to take words away from this Scripture. And they're doing it probably exactly right now in other places. Because there is one inevitable conclusion to this one simple verse, verse 28, which is supported completely by the rest of those verses I read. And the one inescapable conclusion you can have from this is that God is absolutely sovereign. That's the only possible way that all things can work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose, is if he is in absolute sovereign control of everything that happens to you, and that happens to you, and that happens to you, and happens to me, if we love God. You understand, God is not spending his time, and this book never teaches this, God's not spending his time fixing things we messed up. You understand? That's what it is. Oh, he did that. I got to do something else now. Otherwise, my purpose won't come to pass. No, you don't read that anywhere in this book. You don't read anything even close to it. What'd you read this morning, Paul? I am the Lord. I change not. I change not. We change all the time. Sometimes for the better. Usually not sometimes. But he never changes. Everything is going on exactly, perfectly, according to his purpose. Rolf Barnard put it this way. Henry quoted it. God is either absolutely sovereign or he's not. You know, it's one of those six stubborn statements. God is either absolutely sovereign or he's not. And that is a valid statement. Because God's will and God's purpose is supreme or he's not. Right. Right. You understand? There are a lot of people who think, oh, you can thwart the will of God. No, you can't. No. We don't have that kind of power. Now, we can think we've thwarted the will of God, and some people do think they've done it. But God is absolutely sovereign. That's what this book teaches. This book teaches that there are two positions, and there's no middle ground. He's either absolutely sovereign or he's not. You can't have a three-quarter sovereign God. You can't have a half-sovereign God. You can't have a God who's sovereign in everything and everyone except man's free will. Because that means his will is not sovereign. He's either absolutely sovereign or he's not. And that's what this verse is teaching here. There's no middle ground. There's no partial sovereignty. And I want to show it today, if I can, in God's foreknowledge of his people. That's the title of this. Whom he did foreknow. Whom he did foreknow. For Well, actually, the end of verse 28. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Then Paul goes exactly right into this verse. What's the purpose of God? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'll first start with a negative. The foreknowledge of God is not foreseeing. He is not a seer, S-E-E-R. He is not a fortune teller. He is not someone who could just look into the future and see what you would do and then make choices and determinations from what he saw you would do. That's the way foreknowledge is taught nowadays. But the foreknowledge of God is not foreseeing. He has, before they ever knew him, an intimate knowledge and a relationship with his people. He foreknew them, whom he did foreknow. He chose them in love in his Son. He knew them by name before the world began. I'm going to say that a lot today. I like that. Before he formed you in your mother's belly, he knew you. And I'll tell you this, that ain't just Jeremiah and Paul. I know it definitely states it of Jeremiah and Paul, but that's not the only one. He loved you and he chose you in his Son. He knew his people. I said it in the past tense because what for whom he did foreknow is also in the past tense. He chose them from before the foundation of the world. And that is a statement I love repeating.
Amen.
You know why? Because you can say that here and not have a riot, Walter. He chose his people in his Son before the foundation of the world. Now, I know the flippant answer. I know the flippant answer. I've heard it. Well, he chose you because he saw you would choose him. And Christ told his disciples, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." So whose determining will determines there? It's the Lord of glories. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Father who chose us in his Son. He foreknew us. I can't get over that, Mason. I don't want to try anyway, but I can't get over that. And like I said, he chose us before the foundation of the world. You know, you can't say that in many Baptist churches. Can't say it in a lot of places without causing a fight. I dare you to try it. If you're on TV, go ahead and quote Ephesians 1. Read Ephesians 1 in your church. Because I believe every word of it.
Amen.
Just like I believe every word of Romans 8. And Romans 7 and Romans 9. He chose them in his Son. He gave them to his Son, and he gave his Son to them whom he did foreknow. God has always had a people. From the beginning, he has known them. He did foreknow. Now let's be clear about this. For whom he did foreknow. It's for whom, not for what. There's a lot of people want to talk about for what he did foreknow. I looked it up on the internet. You shouldn't do that sometimes. Look up this if you want to. Prophecy conference. There's prophecy conferences going on the East Coast. They're going on the West Coast. And they're going on in the Midwest. right now. There's prophecy meetings. There's prophecy seminars. There's prophecy. They want to talk about what God foreknew, and they don't want to deal with whom God foreknew. Because they don't believe whom God foreknew, he did predestinate. I will tell you that God has foreknown the what. But the what is irrelevant unless you know whom he did foreknow. Because whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What? To be conformed to his son's image. To be conformed to the image of his son. And if you want to, you can leave out the two little words to be, because they're italicized, they're added in. And it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conformed. Again, past tense. To the image of his son. We are being conformed to the image of his son. But in God's sight, right now, we are conformed to the image of his son. Think about that. Ponder on that. Right now, we are conformed to the image of his son. In the sight of God. Not in the sight of men. Not even in my own sight, I'm not conformed. But in God's sight, we are conformed to the image of his son. And that he has predestinated us to. Now, you know, have you ever heard the phrase, I believe in Bible predestination? This is Bible predestination right here. Whom he foreknew, whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. He predestinated them conformed to the image of his son. And in his eyes and in God's sight, we are all those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. We are conformed to the image of his son right now. Now, what is the image of his son? A man. The man. The man. Christ Jesus. The man, perfectly sinless. The man, perfectly holy. The man, perfectly performed all of the Father's will. The man, perfectly kept the law. The man, no sin in him. And he did no sin. And he did all that was right. That's the image God sees when he sees us in his son. That's to be conformed to his image. Thank God I don't have to worry about my image. I do, but I don't have to. Not in God's sight. I have to worry about my walk and my way in this world. And I do. But praise God, he sees me as conformed to the image of his son. Right now. Right now. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Called. Everyone whom God did foreknow, he called. He called. And it is the past tense here because he's talking about those right now who love God. This is not talking about election. This is talking about those who have been called. Now, which call is it? The irresistible call or the gospel call? I love these questions. Yes. A yes. Yes. Those that love God are those that have heard the voice of Him, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are raised from the dead. Those that love God are also the ones who have heard His gospel and believe Him.
Amen.
You can't love one whom you don't know.
Right.
It's not possible.
Right.
It's not possible. See, you get into that, you're getting into loving what you think about somebody. And that's easy to do. It happens all around us with teenagers every day. And adults. No, you can't love whom you don't know. And you can't know until He makes you alive. And you can't know until you hear His gospel. Until you read His word. You've heard it preached and extolled. This one who is perfect. And He will reveal His gospel to you. He will send you a preacher. A sinner to preach the gospel to another sinner. He's promised that too. But this call is both. The irresistible call of God and the irresistible call of His gospel. If it comes unto you in word only, that ain't enough. It's word, power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
If He's given you faith, how do you not believe? You're going to believe His word. I don't know how to actually relate it, but it's the thing that when you hear the gospel preached, you hear Christ preach as He is, you hear the Father preach as He is, as the one who worketh all things together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. You're going to believe Him because He's the one who gives the faith. He's the author and the finisher of it. And we believe, in Ephesians 1 again, we believe by the working of His mighty power. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. I wrote down here Thayer's definition of that word, and I really like this. To render righteous.
Amen. Yeah.
I like that. I do. Everyone that is called is rendered righteousness in the sight of God in His Son. They're not righteous in themselves, but they are righteous in His Son. They're conformed to His image. Guess what? You're rendered righteous. His righteousness has been imputed to us. If we believe. His righteousness. Everyone that is called is rendered righteousness in His Son. And that's exactly everyone which He foreknew, and He predestinated, and He's called. They are righteous. You understand? Sinless is great, but righteousness is needed also. Sinlessness is required, a lack of sin. But we need the holiness of God in order to stand before God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That scripture scared the fire out of me for a while. And then I realized, it's not me, but I'm holy in my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm holy in Christ, in God's sight. And His is the only sight that matters. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can be against us. It's not possible that anyone could be against us, including our own selves. I can't talk my way out of salvation. I can't sin my way out of salvation. Now, that's not a license to sin. I sin more than I want to now. But my actions had nothing to do with these actions here. My actions now, only as a result of these actions here, do my actions come. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Any sin, every sin I commit, belongs to me. But every good thing belongs to Him. Whom He did foreknow, He predestinated to be conformed to His Son's image. Whom He did foreknow, He called to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He did foreknow, He justified to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He did foreknow, He glorified to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He did foreknow, He has all things working together for good, which is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, whose works are all of these? They're His works. They're His works. Who does God work on? He works on those whom He did foreknow. What does all this mean? This means also that the purpose of God according to election stands. This also means that God is absolutely sovereign in the salvation of His people. Amen. From beginning to end. From before the foundation of the world to standing holy and righteous in His presence, in the presence of God. How can we do that? In His Son, and we are conformed to the image of His Son. This actually shows God's absolute sovereignty over all His creation, including men. And it also shows, if you know Christ Jesus, God gets all the glory. And this is the way God has always been. As a bit of a conclusion, I want to turn to Psalms chapter 4. Just a few minutes. This is the way it has always been, New Testament and Old. Psalms chapter 4. Let's just look at verse 3. Start at verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. The Lord has set apart him. that is godly for himself. Now, this being a psalm, you have to ask that question. Is this David writing of himself, or is David writing of the Messiah? Well, the answer is sort of yes. Primarily, he's talking about Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Godly One, the Son of God, the Redeemer. And this includes all those who were foreknown in the Son. In Christ, we are set apart. We are set apart. In Christ, we are godly. But in Christ, we are set apart in Him, and they are set apart for Himself. For Himself. For God. In Christ, we are set apart to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He foreknew, the Lord set apart. And they're set apart for Himself. Why would He do this? Well, the Lord loves those whom He foreknew. I think I might have quoted this last week. If not, I'll do it anyway. You know, if I had, I'd do it. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. Whom He foreknew, whom He loved. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. God's salvation is in love. Now that love's in His Son.
Yeah.
We're not lovely. We're not lovable. We're not. Just be honest, folks. We're not, but His Son is the nearest and dearest thing to God's heart. And He chose us in the Beloved. And He's loved Him with an everlasting love. And because He's loved Him with an everlasting love, He's loved you with an everlasting love. What? When, from the beginning, from before the foundation of the world, whom He did foreknow, He loved with an everlasting love. Whom He did foreknow, He draws. He draws. He predestinated. He called. He justified. He glorified. Whom He did foreknow is conformed to the image of His Son. So what do we do? Psalms 4 and verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Yeah. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Think about that. Ponder that. Stand in awe and sin not. Guess what that means? Shut up. Shut up. Shut up and sin not. Shut up. God set him apart. It's the Lord. Let him do as he wills. He's going to anyway. It's the Lord's work. Let him do as he wills. Whom he foreknew, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's the Lord. Let him do as he wills. And what do? Shut up. And sin not. Be still. As far as all of this goes, foreknowledge, being loved, predestined, set apart, called, drawn, justified, glorified, shut up. Neither you, nor I, nor Abraham, nor Moses, nor David, nor Isaiah, Jacob, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Titus, and Timothy, none of us had anything to do with this work.
Amen.
This is the work of God.
Yeah, it is.
This is the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see it. Shut up. And commune in your heart, on your bed. Think about it. Ponder it. Marvel at it. Wonder at it. But the last thing I love, and be still. In this, there's nothing for you to do. It's all the work of God. You will do things, but in this, there's nothing for you to do. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many, among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say? Shut up. Shut up and be still. In this, I'm not saying you won't have anything to say. I'm not saying you won't have something to do. But in this, in salvation, it's the work of God and God alone.
Amen.
From beginning to the end. After his work. Then, after his work. Let me go back to that. After we stand in awe, and sin not, and think about it with your own heart upon your bed, and you be still, Selah, then what do? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. After we learn of him, and his work, his sovereignty, his love, we are to praise him, love him, trust him, glorify his holy name. We are to preach him and give him all the glory. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. The only reason I am saved, and I believe I am saved, is because God saved me.
Amen. That's right.
He did it all. According to his purpose and to his sovereign will. And the work of his dear son, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I have nothing to boast in. Love God. All things work together for good to them that love God. And we only love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
And who are they? Who are we? Those whom he did foreknow. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place, for this gathering, this assembly. Be with Walter as he comes to preach the word. Your gospel. Give it to us to believe your word. We'll give you all the honor and glory because it is yours now and forever. Amen.